Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the message we just heard. I say that you now be with our hearts again. I ask you, please be with the pastor from here. God, strength the Lord and fill the Holy Spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. It's great to be here tonight. Always excited to be at Verity Baptist Church, especially for the Red Hot Preaching Conference. I want to thank Pastor Jimenez for the invitation and for the hospitality, the accommodations. Really appreciate that. And I want to give a shout out to First Works Baptist Church. I know there's some of them in here and thankful that they came up. And there'll be some who are coming tomorrow. And so we're looking forward to some great preaching. Let's go ahead and get down to brass tacks here. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 15. It says here, "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name.'" Verse 18 says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." And what I want to preach on this evening is the subject of cancel culture. Cancel culture. Now, if you watch the news, if you're up to date on social media, this is a phrase that you will commonly see circulating around a lot, this matter of cancel culture. What does it mean? Well, cancel culture is basically when someone does something that the population generally agrees is wrong. You have what's called the woke mob, right? And what they'll do is they'll seek to recruit society to publicly shame that individual by muting their message, boycotting their business, or just simply removing their platform, period. This is what's known as cancel culture. You know, basically they'll say, "Oh, you don't like Black Lives Matter? Oh, you don't want to take a knee? You're a racist. Cancel that person." You know, "Oh, you believe that the man should be the head of the household? Oh, you must be misogynistic. Cancel that person." "Oh, you're against the coronavirus vaccine? Oh, you must be one of those anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorists. Cancel that Instagram page. Cancel that Facebook. Cancel that platform. Silence that person." This is what's known as cancel culture. "Oh, you hate fags? You must be homophobic. Cancel that person." You know, oh, you preach a sermon on missions? Hate speech. Take that sermon down. Oh, you know, you preach the Bible? Oh, just take that YouTube channel down. Take that content down. Take that Instagram down, the Facebook account down. Take the Twitter account down. Just cancel, cancel, cancel them, because we just can't handle the truth. And the reason it's referred to as a culture, is because of the fact that this has now become the normal attitude, the normal way of thinking for society today. Why? Because we have a generation of snowflakes who can't handle the truth. They can't handle an opposing ideology. So basically, the immediate solution to them is just, well, let's just terminate their voice. Let's just terminate their business. Let's just terminate them because I don't agree with them, right? Now, we see this in politics, with the left and the right. You'll see this in with businesses. But let me say this, is nothing is attacked more. Nothing is sought to be canceled more than unfiltered, raw Bible preaching. But this should come as no surprise, because the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun," the Bible tells us. This isn't a new thing. This is something that we see throughout the Bible. And in fact, in our text verse here, we see it taking place in Acts chapter number 4. Why? Because of the fact that we're not ignorant of his devices. We know the wiles of Satan. We know the methods and the tactics he uses to seek to silence the man of God. That's what we see. Look at verse 17. It says, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." Now, were these guys teaching heresy? Were they doing just some disservice to the public? Were they just being heretical? No, in fact, they healed a man, an impotent man above 40 years of age who was lame on his feet. He was asking for alms. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The guy goes walking and leaping and praising God. He uses that as an opportunity to get 5,000 people saved. Amen. I mean, it's a great and notable miracle that's done, but they didn't like it. So it not only caused the attention of various people, but it caused the attention of the Sadducees, the captain of the temple, you know, and the priests, these religious leaders who did not like what these guys were doing. Now, go to Acts chapter 5. We're going to see how this cancel culture unfolds here. First of all, he says in chapter 4, don't do it. They straightly threatened them and said, don't preach anymore in this name. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 38. It says, now I say unto you, refrain from these men, Acts chapter 5, verse 38, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, he cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So what do you see in chapter 4? They straightly threaten them. Begins to ramp up in chapter 5 where they're beating them. Look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Look at verse number 9 or verse number 10. It says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. This is referring to Stephen. He's preaching the word of God. He's waxing boldly. He's filled with the spirit, doing a great work here. And then you have these wicked people, the priests, the Sadducees, these adversaries, as Pastor Thompson was talking about. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Verse 11, then they what? Suborned men. Now, what does that mean to suborn someone? This basically means that they hired. They basically paid off. They bribed people to take their side, okay? And this is where we find the first mention of George Soros right here. All right. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. We obviously understand how that story ends. Stephen is stoned to death. He is murdered. You know, he is killed by this angry mob, and they cancel his voice. Now, again, this should come as no surprise to them because Jesus told them that this was going to happen. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 25, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? You know, if the world hates Jesus, it should come as no surprise if they hate us as well, right? Part of the job. It should be another day in the office for us as Christians when people revile us, they hate us. Why? Because they hated Jesus too. You got a problem if everyone likes you, amen? The Bible tells us in John 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Now, cancel culture was back then, but it's strong as it is today. You know, we see sermons being taken down, YouTube channels being taken down, people who just hate the word of God. They hate the message. They hate the messenger. And they'll do whatever it takes to rally people to their cause to try to cancel people out. It's wicked. Now, you may think to yourself, well, this is what the sermon's all about. This sounds pretty good, you know, cancel culture. I'm not really here to talk about the world's cancel culture, though. It's actually not my message at all. That's actually all introduction. What I want to talk about is God's cancel culture. Because of the fact that God himself also cancels people out. And he does it better than any woke mob ever can do. Right. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. Obviously, we understand that people are going to try to cancel us out, but why don't we talk about tonight how Jesus Christ and God himself is going to, they also have a cancel culture where they just completely remove people. They cancel them out. They shut them up. And some of them, they even cast into hell. I mean, talk about the greatest cancellation that a person could ever experience, right? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. You know, God is the one who gives us the opportunity to do great things. He gives us the opportunity to preach the word of God, to go soul winning, to do great exploits for him. But let me say this, he's also the one that can shut that door. He's also the one that if you're involved in sin, you're involved in heresy, he can shut that door and he can make sure that no one ever opens it again. He can make sure that a church house can close its doors and it will never open up again. We're talking about God's cancel culture. He can make sure that a Christian who is serving God but decides to stray away, get involved in fornication, get involved in drugs, get involved in extortion, get involved in idolatry, he can make sure that person gets canceled. He can make sure that that person is canceled and never more able to serve God at the same capacity that they were serving him in the first place. God's cancel culture. Now, here's the thing. You know, we think of the world's cancel culture and the agenda that they have to try to shut us down and shut us up and all these wicked people, these adversaries that are out there. You know, they have this cancel culture. They want to shut us down on YouTube, on all our social media platforms. But here's the thing. You know what the Bible tells us? Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Oh, so you're the one responsible for trying to shut us down? God says it's going to be measured to you again. Oh, you're trying to silence the message? Okay, God's going to silence you. This is God's cancel culture. You ever wonder why people think to themselves, or people make comments about God and say, oh, you know, you serve this wrathful God. He's so mean and angry. He throws people into hell. How can you serve such a wrathful and angry and mean God? And we think to ourselves, he's loving. What are you talking about? Like, why do you see God like that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 25, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. But hold on a second. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. He says, if you're a wicked, froward person, okay, that's exactly what you're going to see when you think about me. And when God's cancel culture is set in place, you know what the Bible tells us? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. You know what this tells me? God has a great sense of humor. You know, think about that for a second. Oh, you know, you guys are always talking about how God does this and he judges and he casts people into hell and he makes people reprobates and all these things. Well, and you guys laugh about it. Well, yeah, because it's funny. And it's funny to God too. You say, why is it funny to you, Pastor Mejia? Because of the fact that these people mock God. And it's always great when people who mock God and hate God get what's coming to them. Ha! He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. That's a crude sense of humor. How can you laugh at those things? The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Proverbs 1:26 says, I will also laugh at what? Your calamity. I can't wait to hear God laugh. Amen. You didn't say his name, but I will. I can't wait to see Evan's calamity. Evan! Mr. Judgment himself. Mr. I love to listen to Lady Gaga himself. Right. Faggot. God will laugh at your calamity. And go ahead, put this in a video. Go ahead, treasure up wrath against the day of wrath. Yeah, right. He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. Well, that's figurative. The Hebrew word there is actually, no, shut up. It means he's going to laugh. Yeah, right, yeah. Ha ha, laugh. I will also laugh at your calamity. And just in case you didn't get that, I will mock when your fear cometh. Now, what does it mean to mock? It means to copy you, right? Somebody's like, ah! You know what he's going to do? Ah! Mock you. That's not very nice. Yeah, you know why? Because they hate God. And he's not cool with that. And these people have spent years mocking him, mocking his word, mocking his people. You think he's just going to stand there and do nothing? When it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You think he's just like messing around? You think he's just trying to appease us? You think he's just there to say that and it's just empty threats? No, when God threatens you, he means business. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, what? He says, I'm going to laugh. Don't we have an awesome God? You know, I take solace in this. When I'm dealing with wicked people, those wicked people that Pastor Thompson was talking about, this is what I use to comfort myself. I say, God, tell me that joke again. You know that one joke? You want to find a joke in the Bible? It's right here. He will mock. He will laugh at these people. Why? Because he's canceling them out. These people who have spent a lifetime trying to cancel us out, God says, I'm getting the last laugh once I cancel you. We see God's cancel culture throughout the Bible, where he removes one and exalts another, where he repudiates one and empowers another. He breaks off one and he builds another. He does it over and over and over again. When someone crosses those lines, as Pastor Thompson was talking about, what does he do? He just cancels them out. Because you're done. Now, here's the thing. You know, you have the cancel culture of today. Little segment of the population. They whine. They make a big fuss. They affect a certain segment of the population. But God's cancel culture actually affects every human being on the planet. Whether you're a saved child of God, you're a sinner who walks according to the course of this world, or you're a wicked reprobate, everyone partakes of the cancel culture at one time or another. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's talk about God's cancel culture on the wicked. And I already kind of did that already, but I want to talk about it some more. There is a cancel culture for wicked reprobates. And yes, I mean, how can you come to a Red Hot Preaching Conference and not hear about fags and reprobates? No conference would be complete without mentioning them at least. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 2, you're in 2 Peter chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 21 says, for the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. What is he saying? You know what? Wicked people are not going to continue to prosper all the days of their life. Now, sometimes it may feel that way, doesn't it? You know, doesn't it make you mad when you're going through a hard time, you're going through a difficult trial, you're going through a tribulation, and yet you look out and you see wicked people prospering. And you wonder, why are the wicked allowed to succeed? Why are they allowed to prosper? Lord, I'm serving you. I'm winning people to Christ. I'm trying to be the best church member I can be. I'm trying to just live for you. And yet you have these wicked people out there that are just prospering and just succeeding. And it doesn't seem as though anything is happening to them. Why is that, God? Well, don't forget, the wicked shall be cut off from the earth. The wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. What is he saying? Don't worry, I'm going to deal with these people one day. And let me remind you what Ecclesiastes says. Everything is beautiful in his time. See, when God does things, he does it with beauty. Timing is right. Everything is just perfect. We don't have that skill. We don't have, if we took vengeance upon ourselves, we'd be sloppy or something. It wouldn't look good. When God does it, beautiful. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, that kind of would perplex me before, because I would think to myself, but I see a bunch of false prophets, and they haven't received the swift destruction. How can it be? You know, if they're bringing upon themselves swift destruction, how is it that this person seems to be prospering? It doesn't look like he's getting a swift destruction. Why is that? Well, here's the thing. It's so swift that the Bible says that they're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. The destruction is so swift, God from eternity sees it as though they're already in hell. He hits them so fast. He hits them so fast with judgment that to him, it's like they're already in hell. That's how swift it is. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Go to John chapter 15, if you would. John chapter 15. Talking about God's cancel culture. God can cancel wicked people, and he does cancel them. He has canceled them, and he will continue to cancel them out. And the reason I'm saying that is because of the fact that if you're serving God, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to go through things. You're going to run into these wicked people. You know what it's going to do? It's going to frustrate you. It's going to make you mad. It's going to make you angry. And I'm here to just remind you, don't worry. They're part of God's cancellation program. These people will be counseled. Not counseled. Canceled. They will be canceled. You know, they can make videos and put threats on the voicemail and email you, whatever. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter because God's going to cancel them. In fact, he already has. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now, what I want to talk about this evening, what I really want to focus on is God's cancel culture on Christians. Because look, when it comes to an unsaved person, there is cancellation to them. And that's why it's important that we go out there and preach the gospel, because they can get to a point where it's too late. They die and they go to hell. And we don't want them to ever reach that cancellation date. We want to see them saved before that, right? And we're not talking about wicked reprobates. We're talking about just normal sinners who are walking according to the course of this world, who are just living a normal life, but they're just sinners. You know, we want to get to them before God cancels them out. But I'm talking to Christians tonight, right? I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to people who are saved. You know, saved people can fall prey to God's cancel culture based upon the actions that you do today. Make no mistake about it. God cancels individuals. Look at John 15, verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, people want to use this to teach, well, that means you can lose your salvation. You know, that means you can lose it because they're being cast into the fire. First and foremost, this is a parable. I'm not literally a branch, folks. I'm not wood. I'm not a tree. You would have to take everything literally if that was the case. What it's telling us here is that when a branch is broken off of the tree, it now becomes worthless. And when a branch is worthless, the only thing it's worth doing is just cast it into the fire to create heat, make it worthwhile. Well, in like manner, a Christian, if they're not abiding in Jesus Christ, you know what the Bible tells us? It's like we're broken off and we just become useless. We become worthless. If the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. The Bible tells us it is neither good for the land nor for the dunghill. So there's times when Christians can become so worthless, they're not even useful to put on a dunghill. You guys know what dung is? You know what? So now a dunghill is a mountain of that. And he's saying there, you could become so worthless, you're not even worth putting on a dunghill. And make no mistake about it, some Christians, they're just that worthless. Well, that's so rude. I can't believe he's the one who said it. He says, you're not good. You're not even good for the dunghill. He didn't call you a dunghill. He said, you're not even good enough for the dunghill. It's like when he said, you know, if a man provided not for his own, he's worse than an infidel. He didn't call you an infidel. He says, you're worse than an infidel. Christians can become worthless. And you know what happens when a Christian no longer has worth? They're no longer serving the Lord. God says, I'm just going to cancel you out. I'm just going to take you home. I'm just going to let you go home early because you're not laboring. You're not doing anything. What? You're just taking up space. You're not laboring. You're not earning rewards. You're not discipling people. You're not winning people to Christ. You're just kind of sitting on your rear end doing nothing. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and cancel you then. The Bible says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Christians can become castaways. And if you get anything from this sermon, is get this. Don't be a castaway. Don't be a worthless Christian. Be a Christian of value. Have something to offer. Live for God. Serve in your church. Win people to Christ. Make yourself useful. Don't be canceled. Be appointed. Don't be canceled. You know, God cancels churches. All right? Go to Revelation chapter 2. You know, churches can get to a point where God says, you're not even a church anymore. No, but we have a building. You're not a church. But we have the smoke machines. Yeah. You're not a church. Right. And look, folks, just because it says church on the name, I'll take it a step further. Just because it says Baptist on the name, just because they have a pulpit, just because they look like they're preaching the Bible doesn't make it a church.
I'm not sure I understand.
Sorry, Siri has had this habit of talking to me while I'm preaching. Silence in the church, woman. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou wast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Now look, that's Jesus is the last person you would want to say that to you. Where he says, I got something against you, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Now, when he says he's going to remove the candlestick, he's referring to the fact that he's going to remove them from being a church. And why is that? Well, because they're not preaching the gospel. They're not out there going soul winning. They've lost their focus on souls. And that has caused them to leave their first love, which in turn is going to cause God to cancel them out. You never want to become a church or a Christian that stops soul winning. But you know, there's churches like that today, where they emphasize doctrine or debates or just having these round table discussions. And you know what? And they talk about the Bible, but they don't do any soul winning. At that point, God says, well, I'm going to cancel you out. You're no longer a church. Because a church is a place where believers get trained, they become edified, they get the exhortation that they need so they can go out and preach the gospel. You know, Pastor Jimenez preaches sermons on marriage to make you a better husband and a better wife so you can become better servants of the Lord so you can win people to Christ. Make you a better single so that you can be a better servant of the Lord to win people to Christ. Fix your marriage so you can serve the Lord better. Everything that we do is to make us better Christians so we can go out and preach the gospel. But when a church ceases to do that, at that point, it's no longer a church. God says, I'm going to cancel you out. And let me just say this. A church should have a cancel culture, amen? There's times when the pastor has to cancel people out. We call it church discipline. Amen? And when God, you know, or when the pastor gets up and he sees sin in the church, or a person who's unrepentant in their fornication, their drunkenness, or they're just being a troublemaker, you know, there's some flat-tard idiot who just wants to go around and spread heresy in the church, guess what? That person has an appointment with a cancellation. And you know what? Church members should back up the pastor.
Right.
And not, well, why are you throwing him out? You think, why are you saying he's a reprobate? Why'd you do that for? And I'm gonna talk about that particular person in just a bit. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but you should back up the pastor when he cancels people out. You know why? Because he's doing it for your sake. Because
right.
A little leaven leavened the whole lump. And if you allow a little heresy, a little fornication, a little weed smoking, a little drunkenness, a little this and a little that, you know what's going to happen? Eventually, it's going to affect you and your family. A little pedophilia, yeah, your children are next. If the pastor doesn't cancel that person out, important. Back up the pastor when he throws out these undesirables. And you shouldn't have this attitude like, oh, man, what do you call it, the bleeding heart? Like you hit an artery? I just don't agree with that. I just don't see why. Well, you want to follow him? There's space for two cancellations here if you agree with what he's saying. Are you turning in an application to be canceled? And look, again, we're not trigger happy to try to throw people out of the church. But you know, we got to keep the church pure. We got to keep it clean. We got to keep it doctrinal. And there should be a spirit of cancellation in a church. And the people should back up the pastor, not question his authority to the extent, well, I'm questioning, you know, the why would you do something like that? You know, well, what's up with your discernment? Well, if you can't follow me in my discernment, then go somewhere else. Go follow some pastor who you think has the right discernment and go there, but don't stay here. And look, sometimes people cancel themselves out, which I'm thankful for that. Amen? You know, some people are just like, well, I can't stay here. You know, you shut down your church. So sick and tired of hearing that crap. Oh, you shut down your church. What are you talking about? My service had more than 10 people every service. So are you saying that any church who runs 5 to 10 people is a church that's shutting down from the beginning of time until now? So every church service prior to this coronavirus, people who couldn't grow their church past 10, they're just a shut down church? Because we ran 10 to 15 people every service. And I specifically told people, I said, look, this is what we're running, but if you decide to come, I'm not going to run you out. You can stay. Oh, but you just have these people. Oh, I can't believe, you know, I don't agree with your stance on this, and you're closing down church and my constitutional rights and all this stuff. Well, that's funny. Then why are you protesting on a Sunday when you should have your rear end in church? Mr. Constitutionalist. And by the way, just let me say this. This is my constitution right here. It's called the Bible. And I'm not against people who are constitutionalists and they are patriots and they are American or whatever. But you know what? When you try to turn that around and use it against us, but your rear end is not even in church, now the church is open, you're a hypocrite. I like the video that Pastor Jimenez put out. You know, I want to see all of those of you talking crap who's going to show up when church is open. You know, I was compared. Can you believe this? I was compared. Me shutting down the church was compared to some old IFB fart who was supporting pedophiles. He's like, you're like this old IFB guy, you know, who the church I used to go to, and you know, he accepts pedophiles. He put that on the same level, Pastor Shelley, of shutting down churches. No fags allowed in our church. Whether we're running 5, 10, 15, 0, if it's just me and my family, no pedophiles allowed. It's not the same thing. But you know what? Like you said, people are just looking for a reason to leave. And by the way, that same family is back at that church where they accept pedophiles. Interesting. Are you mad? Yep. I'm mad. The pastor has to cancel someone. By the way, yeah, if the pastor has to cancel someone, not only should you have your pastor's back, but just understand this, God has the pastor's back too. According to Matthew chapter 18. It's bound on earth, it's bound in heaven. I don't agree with it. Well, yeah, it's funny because God does. So do you have more wisdom than God? Let me say this. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. God can cancel you, not just for living in sin, not just for not being repentant, not just for not soul winning, but let me say this. God can cancel you for just teaming up with wicked people. I'm talking about saved people, though. Saved people who team up with wicked people. Saved people who defend wicked people. God does not take... Well, you know, and by the way, yeah, we can be friends with whoever we want, but you know what? When we say that, we mean with like good people. Right. Yep. I could be friends with whoever I want. I'm independent. Yeah, but so does that mean you're going to go be friends with pedophiles and wicked people and rucktards and hyper dipsticks? Right. Folks, when we say we can be friends with whoever we want, we're referring to people who are like saved and people who are like, you know, good people. Don't take that too far. We're just like, I could have any kind of friends that I want. And, you know, Gomez is my friend. King Eglon. And he's my friend. Folks, let's just read the Bible, okay? Second Chronicle, are you going there? I'm going all the way in. Look at 2 Chronicles 19, verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? That's a good question. He's like, so is this the position you really want to take? Is this the stance that you really want to do? You want to help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord. Is that what you want? You want to defend people who attack men of God. You want them to like your posts. You want to like their posts. You want to give them the thumbs up. You want to be cool with these people? Therefore, wrath is upon thee. From before the Lord. Let me say this, is God takes loyalty very personally. So you want to befriend people who pervert my word? Then you suffer with that person. You want to just befriend these people, defend these people, you know, buddy up with them. Okay. Then you can be punished with these people. That's what you want. Go to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. You know, when I say I could be friends with whoever I want, I'm referring to like saved normal people. I'm not referring to like Peter Ruckman. I'm not referring to like Gene Kim. I'm not referring to like Robert Breaker. I'm definitely not referring to Tomlinson. Tyler Baker. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say that, I'm referring to just normal people who are saved. Look at number 16. Let's look at the example of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. It says in verse 1, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. You can't be the leader of the new IFB. You take too much upon you. Verse 4, and when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Why? Because he knows God's sense of humor. He's like, you guys don't know the joke that's about to come. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Look down at verse number 24. So he's threatening who? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who are wicked people. These are reprobates. These are wicked just individuals, right? But verse 24 is actually a different group. He says in verse 24, speak unto the congregation. Now the congregation is not Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. The congregation is just everyone else. Speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. What is he saying? You need to get out of there. Don't go anywhere near these guys. Verse 25, and Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. So he's saying this, hey, get away from these people. Why? Because I'm about to judge them. And if you are close to them, that means I'm going to judge you too. So here's the warning. Get away from them. Folks, I don't want people to question who I'm friends with. I don't want any of you wondering, man, is Pastor Mejia friends with Baker? Is Pastor Mejia a Ruckmanite? Because he seems to be defending the Ruckmanites. He seems to be making excuses for them. Do they roll like that? Is that him? You don't have to question that with me. You don't have to wonder who I run with. Why? Because I get my tabernacle up out of there. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, let's go this way. I don't want to be anywhere near that camp. It's a wicked camp. Oh yeah, but there's some good people there. They're just misunderstood. So what? They're still getting judged. And you know what? These people, this rucktard group over in Florida, with their lame KJV conference, this inbred way of thinking about the King James Bible. Yeah, I said it. It's a garbage conference. Amen. People don't know what they're talking about. Right. Just so you know who the people I run with, by the way. Do you run with people from the KJV conference? Nope. My tabernacle left that place a long time ago. I'm offended by that. Are you having your tabernacle next to them then? Well, you know, they're just good people. They are mocking the word of God. They're making Bible-believing Christians look like idiots. Not because we're idiots, but because they're idiots. Garbage conference. Look, that's a garbage conference, but this is also a garbage conference. I'm talking about the KJV so-called conference. Oh, you're just saying that because Pastor Andrews is all this stuff and he's influenced you. Look, I'll be honest. I tuned into that conference not knowing about anything of the drama. And I was working, I was listening to it, and I hit stop and I said, what did he just say? I was like, let's do a 10-second playback real quick. Heard it again, and then heard more, and I was like, whoa. Let me just go ahead and grab my stakes and my tabernacle. I don't need God to say anything. I already know where this is going. You shouldn't attack men of God. Well, tell them to keep their mouth shut then. And tell me in the Bible where it says that I can't attack people who attack the word of God. Show me in the Bible where a pastor can't get up and rip about people who talk crap about the word of God. Who teach Ruckmanism. You think I can't get up and say something about that? Little snowflake sissy. Ticks me off. Because there's people, look, there's people who are getting saved. There's people who are looking for the truth. And these people tie themselves into the new IFB. They hashtag new IFB. And they think we believe that crap. Well, we don't. Oh, they're attacking me. Well, yeah, because you put a conference up. What do you expect? You live in a glass house. You're talking about the King James Bible. You should know what you're talking about. And when you say stupid stuff, people are going to call you out on the carpet for it. But a lot of this is just a method to try to bring pastors down in order to elevate themselves. Why? Because their preaching sucks. Their YouTube channel sucks. They don't have any content. They surround their ministry by attacking other men of God. Oh, are you being passive aggressive? You know exactly who I'm talking about. Does anybody not know who I'm talking about here? Verse 26, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. Here's the thing. Pastor Anderson's not here tonight. He'll be here tomorrow. A lot of people hate that guy. They hate him. I don't know why. But because he has a lot of people who hate him, try to look for every single little thing to just turn against him, right? And this is what I'm leery of, okay? I'm leery. By the way, I need to get off of Facebook. I'll just be honest with you. That thing makes me mad. I'm like, I'd throw my phone down and break it, but then I got to buy a new one, and it's just not worth it. When I see people criticize Pastor Anderson openly, and they say things about him or say things about any of my pastor friends. You know, I'm talking about wicked people, right? Like these reprobates. Attack him. And then there's like a disagreement maybe with like another pastor. Red flag should go up when that group starts liking your stuff, following you. Oh, such a great sermon. Oh, that was great, pastor. Awesome sermon. This is great. Just flattering them up, buttering them up. Problems with that. I see something wrong with that.
Right.
By the way, if you believe what they said, you got rocks in your head. Told you I was mad. Number 16, verse 31. Well, we could be friends with whoever we want. Yeah, and you can die with those friends too.
Right.
You can suffer punishment with those friends too. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, though. Yeah. Than to have to be associated with rucktards. And that's what it is. It's rucktardation. Yeah. It's a nation of rucktardation. That's what it is. You know, it's a conference of people who are high off of fluoride. And look, you know what the agenda is? Well, maybe if I go against Pastor Anderson, teach something different, my subscribers will go up. My views will go up. It didn't work. In fact, that guy's subscribers went down. Because when you teach stupid stuff, people don't like to hear stupid stuff. I know. I unsubscribed. I was like, man, I got to go through all my emails and unsubscribers. Unsubscribe, unsubscribe. Oh, I don't like this sermon. I just, you know, I like that guy's post, and I like, you know, I thought he was a good guy. Yeah, but here's the thing. We can't be respecter of people. You know what? We need to be lovers of truth. Not reality deniers. You have to love the truth, folks. And if someone is teaching something contrary to the truth, at that point, remove your tent from them. Oh, but he was standing, though. I like his stance on the coronavirus. Oh, you mean like in the state where they told him that he doesn't have to close down? Oh, so bold. Oh, you're just as bold as a lion. When no one's come, no police are coming to your church and telling you to shut down. Your governor's not saying anything. Yeah, that's real easy to grandstand. I know that's a dirty little word today. Don't use that word, grandstand. Standing grand. Granding standing. That's exactly what it is. Blowing a trumpet, grandstanding. I think those views might be going down, Pastor Jimenez, right now on the live stream. Sorry. Verse 31, and it came to pass as he made an end of speaking all these words that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that pertain unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Smart move. And that's what a lot of people need to be doing today. Let's get out of here. Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Go to Matthew chapter 15, if you will. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I was talking to Pastor Jimenez last night, and I want to quote him. Hopefully, I don't misquote him right here. He said, you know, it's easy to take a stand during this whole coronavirus thing when people didn't even know you're open to begin with. Savage. Now here's the thing is like, if I say that joke, you know, I'll get a couple chuckles, but when he says it, because he's very, you know, he's just a somber, very, you know, grave man. So when he said it, I was dying. Oh, like, man. Look at Matthew 15, verse 11. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, let me say this, is that obviously when we talk about blind people in the Bible, as far as spiritually speaking, it's often referring to those who are not saved. Do you know, saved people can also go blind. The Bible talks about that. When they're not adding to their faith virtue to virtue knowledge, when they're not growing in their faith, they can grow spiritually blind. And you know what they can often do is follow the blind. Well, we need to reach out to them. We need to just try to talk some sense to them. We need to help them to find the way. What did Jesus say? Let the blind follow the blind. The blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall into a ditch. You know what he's saying? Two birds with one stone. Two blind men with one blind man leading the way. Because God does not want to waste time. Oh, you want to follow blind men? You want to follow these wicked people? Okay, you can be blind along with them, and there's a ditch waiting for you right over there. I don't want to support a King James conference where they teach Ruckmanism. And I'm King James only. I would get it tattooed if it was like allowed. I would get King James on my back. I'm King James only. That's what we believe. I'm so King James that I just can't tolerate Ruckmanism. I despise it. It's a disease. It's filthy. It's a perversion of what King James onlyism is. I hate it. Fall into the ditch. And I want to address something. The new IFB, not a denomination, the movement. And let me just make something very clear. It's a spirit-filled movement. It is a spirit-filled movement. And don't you let anybody tell you, oh, there's no Holy Spirit power in this movement. What are you talking about? Are we going to just ignore all the people that have gotten saved, the word of God that's being preached, the lives that are being changed? Someone says that to my face, they're getting rebuked. You don't have enough spirit-filled power in your sermon because you're not about America. Happy birthday, Babylon. On 4th of July, right. Happy birthday, Babylon.
Right. That's right.
Amen. No, you don't have enough Holy Spirit for an ant to ride a moped around a Cheerio. Yeah, but I got enough Holy Spirit to ride circles around you.
Preach it.
Right. Apparently. And I got the Bible to back it up.
Amen.
Yep. I got enough Holy Spirit to discern when people are wicked. I got enough Holy Spirit, folks. And look, we're not charismatics. It's not like the Spirit leaves us. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, folks. We have the Holy Spirit that is sealed within us until the day of redemption. And I have enough Holy Spirit to discern when a conference like the KJV conference is a stupid conference. The Holy Spirit shows me through the Bible, this is stupid. It's not of God. I have enough Holy Spirit to know that being a flat earther is idiotic. And let me just say this. You don't need to be filled with the Spirit to know that. You just need to be filled with common sense. Oh, you shouldn't say that about other pastors and pastors' fathers and stuff like that. Well, tell them to stop being a flat tart and maybe I'll stop saying it. That's the solution. It's embarrassing, folks. When people associate themselves with the new IFB and call themselves flat earthers. And you know what the Holy Spirit that dwells within me does? It grieves for that. And look, last time I checked, I've never seen in the Bible where you have to be an American to be spirit-filled. You're tired of the repent of your sins nonsense from the old IFB. I'm sick and tired of the Americanism in the old IFB. Well, they got the Babylon's flag on one end and the Star of Remphan on the other. I'm sick and tired of nationalism, Americanism, and you're not right with God if you don't vote. So are you spitting in the face of every individual who's saved who doesn't live in the United States? Do you expect people in Europe, in Africa, in South America, in Central America, the people who are saved to be Americans in order to be filled with the Spirit? It's nonsense. America's wicked, folks. Responsible for abortions. And look, the last time I checked, the sermon was called, what? God is not an American. That famous sermon by Pastor Jimenez? Great. I agree 110%. But this old IFB ideology that wants to just condemn us because we say things like that, why don't you go back to your old IFB buddies and not associate yourself with the new IFB if that's what you want to believe? You know, if you want to criticize that stance, well, first and foremost, you can't use the Bible. Secondly, that's an opinion. And look, I have people in my church who are constitutionalists, they're nationalists, they're patriots, and you know what? I love them to death. But you know what? They have to put up with me coming up and just talking crap about America. But you know what? I don't have dumb people in my church. The people in my church, when I say those things, they nod their head and say amen because they know it's true. I didn't know being an American was synonymous with being spirit-filled. I thought being spirit-filled means you read the Bible, you pray, You win souls to Christ. No, you have to like go protest and fight against the mask. That's a real spirit-filled person right there. And look, I hate the mask. Sorry, buddy. He's got the mask on right now. Hey, I got one in my pocket. Don't worry. I hate it. I don't know anybody who likes it. But you know what? To mock people because they don't fight against it the way you do, you're prideful, you're pompous. No, you're just kowtowing to the government. Don't you see? This is what they're going to use for the New World Order. It's just the mask. It's like Mark Mask. They both start with the M, they end with the K. They're enforcing it. Folks, the last time I checked Revelation 13, they're not enforcing the mark. People want it. They're worshiping the beast. They want the mark. You know, I didn't know that one of the part of Jesus' ministry was to vote Caesar. You guys remember that in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are ye who vote for Caesar this November. Blessed are ye when you stand up for your freedoms and your rights and you just fight and you uphold the Constitution. I don't see any of that in the Bible. Correct me if I'm wrong. Show me in the Bible where it says that. You know why? Because my kingdom is not of this world, he said. Amen. The only time I'm going to be for politics and government is when he has the government on his shoulders, called the millennial reign. And look, folks, don't call my church members stupid. Don't insult my church members and call them stupid and dumb and stop saying stupid stuff. Well, take your own advice and you stop saying stupid stuff. Amen. And look, if my church member says that they're a flat tard, I'll join you. I'll meme with you against that church member. Right. If they're in support of the KJV conference, so-called, or rectard conference, I'll join you and we'll meme about that church member in my church. We will tag team against that church member. But when you begin to insult other people's church members and call them stupid and what you say is dumb, folks, that's not right. It's not right. You know, Pastor Thompson, he called me about my church members. It wasn't nothing serious. He just said, hey, this is going on. Can I talk to them? I'm like, yeah, go for it. Well, you do it. And newsflash, you're not the king and queen of Facebook either. Whoops. Was this live stream? Can't just go around insulting other people's church members just because they uphold the direction of their pastor. Because you know what you're doing? You're basically insulting the pastor.
Yeah, right.
Because it's the pastor who's decreed that in his church. You know what? I love when my church members back up what I say on social media. Absolutely. When I say West Coast is the best coast, and they're hashtagging that, I'm like, amen. Keep doing it, Jose. That's a doctrine we believe in our church. You're kind of on this side, brother Shelley, okay? He's from Texas. Forgive him. No, I'm just kidding. I have to be really nice because I'm going to his church in a couple of weeks. Hey, Texas is great. Respect of the people's church members. And look, but here's what I'm leery about, okay? Is that people should know better. So when they attack our church members, they know they're attacking us. When they attack someone from Verity Baptist Church, where Pastor Jimenez has clearly made a statement, you know, he made videos about it, where he stood in the whole coronavirus thing and what he was doing, and you attack that, you're attacking him. And look, Pastor Jimenez is small in stature, but not in spirit. Better watch yourself. So why would these people do that? Clout? Want to make a name for themselves? But is that how you do it? No, you make a name for yourself by winning people to Christ. By building up the ministry, by creating content, by serving God, by preaching sermons. Not by trying to take the opposite stance of the most famous pastor in the movement. Not by taking a stance against one of the most influential pastors in the movement. You do it by praying, reading the Bible, learning how to preach well, creating content. And you know what? If people don't want to watch your stuff, then guess what? That's not their fault. But the solution is not to attack the pastor. I want to keep talking about this. Because I'm mad. Go to Judges chapter 16. Look, there's things that pastors preach that I don't agree with. There's things that Pastor Thompson preached tonight that I don't agree with. And he knows it too, because we were talking about it before. I'm going to call you out. I got my sermon for Sunday morning. I'm just kidding. Well, hold on a second. Am I just going to indirectly mock him and insult him and use his titles and the things that he said to try to prove him wrong? Am I just going to just put him down? No. Because here's the thing. I know I'm right and he's wrong. Just kidding. No, because we're friends. That's why. I'm not going to split hairs over things like that. What I'm saying is this, is that if you want God to cancel you, team up with people who are going to be canceled by God and you get yourself a free ticket. Team up with the Rucktards, and you'll get yourself a ticket. Team up with Tyler Baker and his little inbred conference that he's going to have. Yeah, you'll suffer that. But to the others, I say this, hey, remove your tent from these people. Remove it. Remove your tabernacle, remove your tent so that you don't suffer that cancellation as they are. Okay? When did I start preaching? Does anybody know? I don't remember. People have been canceled in the Bible. You think of Saul, for example. Saul was canceled. Look, he's the first king of Israel. Had a bright, bright future ahead of him. You know, he was doing great works for God. But God saw no problem with just saying, the kingdom shall be taken from you and given to someone who's better than you. Ouch. Not just given to someone else. He said, given to someone who's better than thou. Just to throw that in there. How about the example of Samson? Samson was canceled. He was a judge. The Spirit of God would come upon him. I mean, he was used in a great way, but he made some bad decisions that caused him to be canceled. Fornication. Folks, you want to get canceled? Hey, young men, young ladies, if you want to get canceled by God, get involved in fornication. You'll cancel yourself out like that. Whether it's God's judgment just coming upon you and you dying a death, or you just being, filled with STDs, gonorrhea, chlamydia, AIDS, you just never know. You know, at that point, God will just cancel you. It can happen. That's what happened to Samson. Look what it says in verse 19. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before. What is he saying? I'll handle this just the way I did it all the other times. And shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. What did he find? What didn't he not know? He didn't know this. You're already canceled, Samson. You're done. Now, you know what's interesting? Look what it says in verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. You know, it's interesting because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that spirit, and when the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And how ironic that we find Samson void of the spirit of God, of his power, and what is he doing? He's grinding, he's chained with fetters of brass, he's in prison. What do we say about him? Canceled. Canceled. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. What's the worst part about being canceled by God? I'm going to give you my opinion on that. Because there's times when people get canceled, you know, either they die a dishonorable death, they are just shamed publicly. God allows them to go through that. But I don't even think that that's the worst part of being canceled by God. I think the worst part is this, is that you leave no legacy behind. Because let's be honest, we all want to leave something behind, right? And the greatest thing that we want to leave behind, aside from the fruits and the labors that we've done, is our memory. Right? The Bible says that the memory of the just is blessed. We want to be able to leave a good memory behind of a righteous man or a righteous lady who served the Lord, who saw people saved. We want God to preserve that memory, that legacy, right? Well, let me say this, is that sometimes God will cancel you to the point where you're never remembered. In other words, you can dishonor God to the point where God says, I don't even want people to remember who you are. That's rough. I don't want your family to remember you in the generations to come. I don't want Christians to know about you in the generations to come. I don't want you to be remembered at all. Let me prove it to you. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 11. It says, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. Don't miss it. He says in verse 14, I want to blot out their name from under heaven. He's not talking about blot out their names out of the book of life. He says, I want to blot out their name from under heaven. I don't want anyone to even remember who they are. Look at chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse 25. It's kind of scary to think that God can cancel you to the point where no one even remembers a trace of you. They didn't even know you existed. They don't know the souls that you won. They don't know the works that you did. You're just gone. Look at verse 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And look what it says here. This is crazy. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Now, you say, well, what's the point of that? A carcass is supposed to go like in a tomb, right? In a sepulcher, like a memorial to say, remember this person. This is when he died. This is when he was born. It's a grave site, a gravestone with the memorial saying, here lies so-and-so. Verse 25 is telling us God doesn't even want that. He says, I'm going to give your carcass to the birds and to the beasts. Nothing will be left. Talk about cancellation. Ezekiel 3:20 says this, you don't have to turn there again. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. I don't know about you, but I want to be remembered. I want the generations to come to remember me. You say, why? To inspire people. To be an example to others. Because that's what I'm going to leave behind. Obviously, when it comes to eternity, those things don't really matter. But you know what? When it comes to this, it does. Leaving a good memory behind. But you know what? You can actually forfeit that if you're canceled by God. If you're involved in sin, not repentant of it, if you side with wicked people, God can basically say you're done. And you know what? I'm sure he's done it multiple times to many people we'll never hear about. Where he said, yeah, the memory is gone. God's cancel culture, severe. If you get anything from this sermon, get this. Don't be canceled. Simple as that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Help us, Lord, to continue to serve you all the days of our life. Make wise decisions. Separate from those who would ruin the testimony of the Bible. Seek to ruin the testimony of Christians. Seek to attack others, Lord. I pray that you'd help us. Give us wisdom. Fill us with your power. I'm thankful for the new IFB. Thankful for the people therein who are winning people to Christ. Seeing people saved who are exposing the wicked works. Zealous for the Lord. They love you, they love the Bible, they love souls. And I'm thankful to be a part of that movement. I'm thankful that I have friends who are in the movement. I'm thankful that they are spirit-filled people. I pray, God, that you'd help our movement continue to go forward and see people saved and help the churches in our movement to do the same, Lord. Show yourself strong on our behalf, and may we never be a byword and a proverb in the mouths of others that we were canceled. We were a part of God's cancel culture. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, some of you were wondering why we call it the Red Hot Preaching Conference. And, now you know. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you. Two great sermons, Pastor Thompson and Pastor Mejia. We appreciate it. Just let me go over some things real quick. I'm not sure we have any baptisms or if we need any baptisms, but if you need to get baptized, you want to head in that direction. If somebody needs to get baptized, we're going to baptize you, all right? And I realize it's a little late, and if you got to get going, that's all right, but we're going to baptize if we need to. We want to do that. Just a couple things. In the foyer, we've got Red Hot Preaching Conference t-shirts, and we've got resources back there, all sorts of documentaries and DVDs from other conferences and things. Maybe there was something in the sermon that you didn't understand. You said, I'm not sure what he's talking about, the King James. If you have a question, we've got the answers, all right? So make sure you go back there and look through that. Everything's free. We don't charge for anything at Verity Baptist Church. We don't make the house of God a house of merchandise. So make sure you go back there and check that out. And I do want you singles to check out the newifbsingles.com website. It actually is a serious thing, and it's not a dating site. But it is a place where we want to be able to help you get connected and want to try to coach you through this season of your life. And there's going to be videos on there to try to help you. So make sure you check it out. Of course, if you're living under the authority of your parents, make sure they check it out with you and all of that. But check it out. Check out the website. And then don't forget, if you're looking for somewhere to eat, restaurants are shut down. But we have this list for you. Indoor eating is shut down, but we have the list for you of restaurants that have outdoor eating, so you can check those out. Tomorrow morning, the service starts at 10 a.m., and I'm really excited about this preacher tomorrow morning because he's new to the Red Hot Preaching Conference, and it's Pastor Joe Jones. And you may not know Pastor Jones, and you need to get to know him. And what I love about Pastor Jones is when you talk to him, he's real quiet, but he is fiery when it comes to preaching. So make sure you are here 10 a.m. We have 345 in church tonight and 237 watching online, I think was the high number there. But I think that's it for the announcements. If there's anything you need while you're here in town, just know that we're available for you. My staff's available to help you with anything. And just let us know if there's anything we can do. We're going to have Brother Matt come up and lead us in a final song. If we have any baptisms, text me and let me know so that we can get that situated. But Brother Matt, come on up.
Turn to song 63. Song number 63. What a day that will be, song number 63. Let's sing it out on the first.
There is coming a day when no worry shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on the happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day.
Song 246.
Excited about this baptism, and Al is actually someone that Brother Oliver, one of our staff guys, met out door knocking here in the community, and he's been coming to our church. You've been coming, what, maybe 3 weeks?
Yes.
And we've really enjoyed getting to know you, Al, and we're glad you're getting baptized. Al, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes.
All right, Al, by your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Bless you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being here. Just, again, want to remind you, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, and be here, and we're going to have a great day. Teen activity at 3 p.m., and then preaching at 6 p.m. If there's anything we do for you, please let us know. God bless you. Brother Matt, would you mind dismissing us with a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the sermons that were preached tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to apply these things to our lives, Lord. Be gracious unto us and merciful, Lord. Be with the rest of this week. Be with the soul winners that go out, Lord. And I pray that you would just bless each and every person here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.